Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's please be seated. Praise God. Well, I'd like to start by saying a very big thank you to my good friend of about 30 years, almost 30 years, Reverend Dr. Doyin Odubanjo. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity and the privilege afforded me to be here. I'll tell you something about him. I like him a lot. He is a sane person. You know, there are some preachers that are not sane. You know, it's just a fact. There are preachers that are complicated. There are preachers that you can't vouch for their lifestyle. He's not one of those. He's been consistent in his walk with God and doing the same things. Same things he's been doing since I knew him. You know, just, and that blesses me. That blesses me. And preach for him way back, preach for him in Lagos, been here in the past. I'm here again today. And I also know that he has a team of people who work with him. Pastor Bolaji here, great man, with such a great heart. Such a great heart. Such a great heart. And I'm glad that I'm associated with this work, with these people, with this place. And if you're thinking of, you don't have a local church you're committed to, this is a good one. I can tell you that. I can tell you that. Amen. And I'm indeed so delighted. The team he also works with here, the pastors here, you know, they're obviously, you know, good people with such a good heart. Amen. And we're grateful to God that he's our Father. You know, if not for him, none of us will be anything. You know, it's Jesus who is everything, right? In ourselves, we're nothing. And it's in him that we are something. How about us just lifting up our hands to him and giving him all the praise, all the honor, all the adoration for being such a good Father, for being such a merciful Father, for his grace, for his kindness, for his mercies, and just extolling him, magnifying the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you're our Father and you're such a good Father. Thank you for another opportunity this morning to fellowship together about the name of Jesus. Thank you because the power is in that name. All authority is in that name. Thank you because there's healing in that name. There's deliverance in that name. There's victory in that name. There's provision in that name. Thank you for your Spirit who indwells us as individual believers and also collectively as a body of believers. As we approach the Word of God this morning, we do so reverently and humbly. Our hearts are proposed, our minds determined. We won't be hearers of the Word alone, but we'll be doers of the same. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. We're looking at living naturally in the supernatural. Living naturally in the supernatural. This is Sunday morning. Well, I won't read all the scriptures I read, my entire text. Maybe I'll just quote them a bit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, the Bible says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, sanctify you completely. It says, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we also looked at Galatians chapter 5 from verse 16 to 18, where the Bible says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. And then in Romans 8, from verse 1 to 9, the Bible says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
because the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, verse 9, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. And if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now I want us to read the last one. Let's read that together. You know, the Bible says, till I come, let's give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 1 of 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in fear and weakness and in all trembling. Said that my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith shall not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we're looking at living naturally in the supernatural, like I said. And we started by saying this, that man was made in God's image and after his likeness. Man's spiritual capacity was originally attuned to the pitch of God's dream. He walked with God. He lived in the realm of the supernatural. Amen. But then Adam committed high treason, sold out to the devil, disobeyed God. And the moment he did, he got separated from God. His spiritual faculties became impaired. And then he had to now depend on his physical senses for survival. But listen, through the new birth, we are born of God. We are immersed into the supernatural realm. Remember what we read in or referred to in Romans 8, 9, where the Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, is none of his. At the new birth, we are born of the spirit of God. He comes to dwell in us. So everybody who is born again, even if they are not filled with the Holy Ghost, if they are born again, they are not in the flesh. They are in the spirit. So could put that like this, that they are not in the natural. They are in the supernatural. Yes, I know we are supernatural beings. We're spirit beings with the spirit of God in us. But we live in a natural world. And that's why God wants us to be naturally supernatural. And he wants us to be supernaturally natural. Pastor Kenneth W. Hagin has a saying that when the natural and the supernatural come together, they make an explosive force for God. Now, if you're born again, like I said, you are not in the flesh. You are in the spirit. Everybody who is born again. We saw again in Galatians 5, you know, from verse 16, where the Bible says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We could put that like this. Walk in the supernatural, and you will not fulfill the cravings of the natural. You will not live a natural life. God wants us to live a supernatural one. And notice it says, they that are Christ, in Galatians 5, verse 24, 25, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. 25 says, if we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. If you're born again, you live in the spirit. If you're born again, you are in the spirit. Now, is it possible for a born again Christian to walk in the flesh? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you don't even have to know any Bible to know the answer to that. You've walked in the flesh yourself since you got saved, haven't you? Yeah. And then you see the Corinthian church, the Galatian church. See those churches. Paul had to deal with certain things. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, you know. He says, wherefore put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Yeah, you wouldn't think you'll have to tell Christians that. But believe me, you have to. Amen. Let him that stole steal no more. Yeah, talking to the church. And I heard one preacher say one time. He said, look, it's not about right doing. It's about right believing. Once you believe right, that's it. I said, I thought to myself, I said, Paul sure didn't know that. Because Paul did not only tell people who they are in Christ. He then told them, now that this is who you are in Christ, there is a way you are to live. Now, I know there's a problem. If you don't tell people who they are, and you keep just preaching conduct, then people will try to earn righteousness, earn God's grace through their good works and right conduct. And that doesn't work. No, it's who we are in Christ. People need to know that. And because of who we are, there's now a way we are to live. Thank God righteousness is primarily a positional truth. On the grounds of the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ, we have become the righteousness of God. But righteousness is not only a positional truth of who we are in Christ, it's also something that shows up in our conduct. The Bible says, whosoever doeth righteousness is righteous. So we are also to act it out and live like that. Amen. So, if you're born again, you're in the spirit. Can you walk in the flesh? You can. Should you walk in the flesh? You shouldn't. What are you to do? Does being in the spirit or living in the spirit, does it automatically make you walk in the spirit? It doesn't. There's an effort. Walk in the spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If you don't walk in the spirit, you're going to walk in the flesh. That's a fact. If you walk after the flesh, walk after the senses, you're not going to walk in the supernatural. Now, we also said this, that when we talk about living naturally in the supernatural, what are we talking about? For one, it's natural to live in sin. It's natural to have bad conduct. It's natural to sleep around. It's natural to lie. It's natural to steal. It's natural to do drugs. It's natural to be corrupt. It's natural to live wrong. But we are born again people. And not only are we born again, we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. With the evidence of speaking in other tongues. So we are to walk in the supernatural. So to live in the supernatural, walk in the supernatural, entails living right. To walk in the supernatural entails walking in health. It's natural to be sick every now and then. Listen, we're not the sick trying to get healed. We're the healed who are walking in health. Healing is not God's best. God has something better. It's health. We shouldn't have healing lines for Christians. It shouldn't be. James wrote to the church, you know, he said, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Listen, there shouldn't be any sick among us. But in case there are some folks who just got saved and are struggling with sickness, see, that's how we are to see it. Under the old covenant, God said to Israel in Exodus 23, verses 25 and 26, says that he shall serve the Lord thy God, and he'll bless thy bread and thy water. Now, when he was going to talk about sickness, he now had to put it in the first person. He said, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall none cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Amen. There were no premature deaths among them. There were no miscarriages among them. There was no barrenness among them. Why? Because Jehovah was their healer. And remember, we're in a better covenant established upon better promises. So it should be normal for us to walk in health. Now, I haven't had a headache now in over 30 years. And I know man telling you I'm not going to have one. I haven't had malaria now in that longer time. And I'm not going to have it. Praise God. I got done with those things many years ago. And you see, this shouldn't be... I shouldn't say this now. And somebody feels like, wow, wow. That shouldn't be a wow. Because all of us should be like that. See, that's part of living naturally in the supernatural when we walk in health. And I don't mind telling you, I won't die young either. I'll live my life out without sickness and disease. And at a good old age, when I'm ready to go, if Jesus Christ is coming, I'll just fall asleep in him. And I can tell you exactly how I'll die too. Amen. You see, we have more control over those things than we think we do. Kenneth E. Hagin, in his book, Understanding the Anointing, wrote that book 1983. He said how he was going to die. Yeah, he said it 20 years ahead of time. He died the way he said he would die. Yeah, talked about how Kenyon died. He sat on a rocking chair. He said, there's Jesus, bye-bye. He said, that's how we go too. He too finished eating breakfast. He dropped his head and he was gone without sickness at age 86. Wigglesworth, when he was 72, believed God for 15 more years. He lived 15 more years to the week. Died at 87. F.F. Bosworth, when he was 80, T.L. Osborne came to see him. In his room, he said, Brother Osborne, this is the greatest day of my life. I'm going home today. Then he had doctors come check him up so that it would be on record it wasn't sickness that killed him. See, those things are a big deal to some of us. It may not be important to some people. It's important to me. I like to follow people that ended well. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. You see, ministry for me, I'm not trying to be a shooting star. I'm not trying, you know, some people, they peak too early in their life. By the time they are 35, they are peaked. Nothing more for them to do. No, it's about longevity. It's about lasting the long haul. Amen. No scandals, no nothing like that. I'm just fulfilling God's plan, fulfilling God's will, being a blessing to people, staying with the truth of God's word, not going into this error, all that stuff, but just staying consistent. I love that. Amen. So, living naturally in the supernatural entails living right. It entails walking in health. Listen, it also entails being prosperous. You know, on this issue of prosperity, if we're not careful, we could get apologetic. Yes, it's true that there has been money-mindedness. There has been materialism. There has been covetousness. And it's sad. I've seen people who will fleece God's flock. I've seen people who will merchandise the anointing. I've seen it. It irritates me just like it irritates you. The love of money is still the root of all evil. Amen. Covetousness is still idolatry. It's clear in the Bible. But listen, God doesn't want money to have us, but he wants us to have money. I don't mind telling you, there's nothing spiritual about poverty. Nothing. 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 I would like to ask people a question. Who poverty help? Who help? Poverty has never made anybody a better Christian. Somebody said, when that guy had more money, he started chasing women. I said, no, he always wanted to chase women, just didn't have the money to. Yeah, when that guy had more money, then he got proud. He was always proud. But we didn't know. You know, you don't know whether you are humble until you have power. Amen. So you see, God wants us to have money. Amen. That's part of living supernaturally. When they say there's a casting down, we say there's a lifting up. Listen, I keep getting better financially. I do. Why? Because I endeavor to put the principles of God's word to work. And God is a good God. God is a good God. We shouldn't flaunt money. We shouldn't do that. I've seen people who do that and it's sickening. We shouldn't. I was talking to Pastor Higgin one time and he said some preachers brag about money. He said it's irritating. Don't ever do it. That's something never to do. Thank God for God's blessings. Thank God for God's goodness. You know, sometimes God, through people, will bless you financially. You will not go to the same people and be bragging about the prosperity. It's stupid. Doesn't make sense. Amen. We thank God for his goodness. And I don't mind telling you, he wants us to prosper. The principles of God's word will work. And they work in every area, including that area. If you're a member of this church, tithe faithfully. What's the tithe? You know, there's been a lot of fight about tithe. To tithe or not to tithe. You know, what's the tithe? Is it a necktie or what kind of tie? No, it's a tenth. Now, don't let's go into too much theological debate about it. We know this, that Abraham gave a tenth to Melchizedek. That was 430 years before the law. Jacob, we don't know that Jacob tithed, but Jacob vowed to tithe of everything God will give to him. That was 250 years before the law. Then the law came and tithing became regulated by the law. Now, we also know something. The Old Testament says, thou shalt not kill, right? The New Testament says, whoso hated his brother as a murderer, he know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. The Old Testament says, thou shalt not commit adultery. The seventh commandment of the ten. The New Testament says, whoso looketh at a woman to lust after her, has committed adultery with her already in his heart. The Old Testament says, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't seek the good of Amalek. Don't seek the good of such and such. You know, the New Testament says, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. So it's clear that the standard of the New Testament exceeds that of the Old Testament. Now, do we have a lot of emphasis in the New Testament on the tithe? We don't. Now, in the Old Testament, they were spiritually dead. Before God could get that tithe out of them, he had to throw a rope on their neck and pull it. In the New Testament, you really haven't given if you haven't tithed. You know, I've heard people say that, no, you know, we should just be led. My friend, shut up. You know, I've heard people say, no, you should give all. No, you shouldn't. No, you shouldn't. He that doesn't provide for his own, especially those of his house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Then you should pay your taxes too. You should obey the laws of the land and all that. So, and your driver's license and everything. So if you give all, you know, how then are you able to fulfill those other responsibilities? Are you listening to me? So without being too theological, and I can get very theological, there were about three or four kinds of tithe in the Old Testament. I can go into all those things very technically. I teach in a Bible school. I'm a director of a Bible school. And that's what we peddle. That's what we deal in. We train people. We teach Bible. But you don't need to even know all that grammar. Eh? If the standard of the new is higher than the old, in the old they did 10%. In the new, we should at least do 10%. Does that make sense? So put 10% of your income to your local church. And also be generous. And then it's not about just being generous. We talk about people who want to sow into the anointing. Yes, that's a scriptural principle. But also, let's be generous all round. Amen. It's God's word. And sometimes the Spirit of God will tell us to do certain things. Anytime we obey him, it works. Anytime we obey him, it works. He knows what he's doing. He knows why he said to do that. Amen. And when we do that, God always blesses that. So you see, living naturally in the supernatural involves living right. It involves walking in health. It involves being rich. Now, what does rich mean? Does it mean we'll all be millionaires? No, we won't. But listen, rich means a full supply. Rich means abundant provision. You can eat what you want to eat, wear what you want to wear, drive what you want to drive. And God makes all grace abound toward us so that we, having always all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. Your church is doing a project. There's a certain amount. You know, don't you sometimes feel like just telling pastor, stop that announcement. Let's talk about bigger monies than that. I'll send a check. You know, I'll just wire the money. You feel like that, right? That's your born again spirit that feels like that. Amen. So God wants us to walk in provision. And you see, living naturally in the supernatural also involves a supernatural ministry. Who's to have that? Everybody who's born again. We've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Then he talked about the signs that are to follow the believing ones. Those signs are to follow every single Christian. So you see, when we're talking about the supernatural, that's what we're talking about. You know, you can have manifestations of the Holy Ghost in the bank. Let's say you're a banker. You can have it in the market. Let's say you sell tomatoes. Those things can work anywhere, everywhere. And they can operate through every single believer who is filled with the Holy Ghost. So that's what we're talking about. Then we said that anybody here could fly a plane if only you know how. So it's about the know-how, the technical know-how. So the big question we began to answer is, okay, this supernatural that you're talking about, and you're making it sound like it's such an easy thing. Yes, Jesus said my yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's not complicated. Jesus never came with complicated stuff. How exactly does it work? So we began to look at a few things. You said, number one, that we must walk in love. Love is God's way and it's our way. It's the law of the new covenant. The Bible says, covenant us with the best gifts. Then he said, yet show unto you a more excellent way. Then he went on to talk about love. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. For as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Follow after charity or agape and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. So the Amplified Classic of 1 Corinthians 14, 1 says, make love your great aim and quest in life. It should be our number one, like you talk about New Year goals, resolutions. Number one should be, I want to grow in my love walk. Amen. You see, God is love much more than he is anything else. And we can't overemphasize that. Then secondly, we said to live naturally in the supernatural, we must live by faith. We must live by faith. Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. And then we talked about the law of faith. You know, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That word salvation is the all-inclusive word of the gospel. It includes healing. It includes provision. It includes prosperity. It includes protection. It includes all that. Safety. Praise God. So we could put it like this. With the heart man believes, and with the mouth he confesses unto an answered prayer. With the heart man believes, and with the mouth he confesses unto divine healing. With the heart man believes, and with the mouth he confesses unto protection. So that's the principle of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So that's it. Let's find out what God's word says about us. Let's take the time to meditate on his word. We believe that word. Believing is an act of the will. Believing is acting on God's word. If you really believe, you will act. And the primary action of faith is to speak. Amen. Is to speak. So we believe and we speak. And sometimes we add additional corresponding action to our confession. For instance, if you're a student and you're confessing I'm the head and not the tail, and you don't go to class, yeah, you're going to be the head and not the tail from the rear. You know? Because the Bible says, he that does not walk, he should not eat. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that's exactly what he's going to reap. The Bible says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. So, We believe, we confess what we believe. And because we believe it, we act like it. We make sure we have additional corresponding action that lines up with our confession. So we live by faith. Then number three, I said this, that we must use the name of Jesus. We must use the name of Jesus. The name is the key. You know, if you came in a car today and drove your car, you know, you could say that you drove that car, right? You could say you started that car, right? You could say you opened the door of the car, and you'll be correct. But in actual fact, you're not the one that opened the door of the car. The key did. The key did. Why do I know so? Because if I took the same key, I would have gotten the same results. So it's really the key that gets it done. You see, the power is in the name. The authority is in the name. We looked at John 14:13-14. John 16:23-24. Mark 16:17-18. And we said that the believer has a fourfold right to the use of the name of Jesus. First, we're born into the family of God, and that name belongs to the family. Secondly, we're baptized into Christ. And being baptized into Christ, we're baptized into His name. Thirdly, we said Jesus gave us the power of attorney to act in His stead, to act for Him. And fourthly, we said this, that we are commissioned as ambassadors to go and herald that name before the nations. You see, the name was the battle axe in the ministry of the early church. The Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, they weren't so scared of what they preached, but there was something they feared, that name, that name, that name. They didn't want them preaching about that name, because the power is in the name. And the believer has a right to that name. Listen, it took faith to come into the family. Now that you're in the family, all things are yours. It's the name that does it. Just dare to use the name. Dare to speak the name. Amen. Then that was the third thing we mentioned. Then number four, we said this, and that was where we left off yesterday. Now I know I can see some faces that are here this morning that weren't here in the previous days. So I was just doing a recap because of them. You know, the Bible says we must walk in love, right? So we must be considerate of them. And besides, those of us that were here, faith doesn't come by having heard. It comes by hearing and hearing. So it doesn't hurt to hear the same thing again and again. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. Listening to the doubt and listening to the fear and listening to the turmoil and listening to the anxiety will only cause more perplexity. Stop hearing those things you're hearing. Stop paying attention to those things you're paying attention to. Stop going after the news in the natural and spending all your time feeding on that stuff. It's going to build confusion into your mind. It's going to build perplexity into your heart. Instead, keep your focus on what God has said. Keep your focus on what God is doing. Keep your focus on the great things that are happening. And as a result, you'll stay on the side that keeps faith. And you're going to see that your life will go in the direction of that which you keep your focus on. Amen. And you have much cause to rejoice and be glad. Well, the Holy Ghost just blotted that out. Amen. And it doesn't hurt to flow with Him, right? Amen. Praise God. So, the fourth thing we spoke about, we said pray much in other tongues. Pray much in other tongues. Jesus said in Mark 16:17 that these signs shall follow them that believe. One of the signs of the five was they shall speak with new tongues. They shall speak with new tongues. And the 1 Corinthians 14:18, Paul said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. See, it's something to thank God for. Something to thank God for. Someone sent me, you know, people send stuff. You know, someone sent me, a family member just sent on WhatsApp. You know, I don't use that devotional, but it doesn't hurt. We get blessed from everybody. We shouldn't get to a place where it's only your favorite preachers that you listen to. Amen. Someone sent me, you know, a devotional, and I just read it this morning. Incidentally, that devotional was from Pastor Adeboye, and there was something in that devotional, in today's devotion, that a Christian should speak in tongues for at least 1 hour every day. Wow. I had to tweet it. I tweeted it. I put it on Twitter. It blessed me. Amen. It's good to spend time praying in tongues. So much benefit to it. So much benefit to it. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He charges up himself like a battery. See, 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit, in the spirit, in the spirit, in the supernatural, he speaketh mysteries, divine secrets. We can pray out mysteries. We can fellowship with God. You know, sometimes in medical practice, they give people a head bypass. You can have a head bypass and just talk heart to heart, spirit to spirit with the Father of spirits, right? And just fellowship with your Father. Glory to God. You see, charge it up your spirit, praying out his plans, praying out his purposes, praying concerning the unknown. I heard something that John G. Lake wrote. He said this, he said, tongues is the making of my ministry. Now, John Lake was in South Africa, 1907 to 1912. He established 500 churches in 5 years. That man worked in the power of God, came back to Spokane, Washington. Spokane was declared the healthiest city in the U.S., In 5 years, they documented 100,000 healings. They ran doctors out of town. The supernatural. The supernatural. Yeah. And he said his tongues. He said his tongues. Wigglesworth had revival in every continent. That man, one fellow told Kate McVeigh, same person told Kenneth E. Hagin, that he personally, man was from Great Britain, knows of 23 cases. Of people that were raised from the dead. Now, I don't know if you've woken 23 people from sleep. The man raised 23 people from the dead. Now, you want to pay attention to a man like that. Such power with God. Such audacity. And he was an old school plumber. But when the Holy Ghost will come on him, even English professors will be startled. Such power with God. They asked Wigglesworth, they said, what's the secret? He said, well, I defy myself 2 hours in tongues in the afternoon. And I go to the meeting at night and I edify the people. I heard something Kenneth E. Hagin said. He said he has found that the more he prayed and worshiped God in tongues, the more the manifestations of other gifts of the Spirit he saw in his life. And I found that to be true too. Yeah, I've spent some hours praying in tongues already today. I've spent some more hours praying in tongues today. I just like to pray in tongues. Sometimes I lie on my bed talking in tongues. I go to sleep talking in tongues. I wake up talking in tongues. Sometimes I drive my car all the time, actually, talking in tongues. I fly in the plane quietly. Of course, you don't want to be a nuisance talking in tongues. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:28 says, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Well, if you can do it in church, you can do it in the barber shop. You can do it in the plane. You can do it at the airport. You can do it in your place of work, just quietly by yourself. Amen. Charging up your spirit, praying out the plan of God, praying out the purpose of God, stirring up the supernatural. You know, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, right? He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Yes, I know that applies to money, but not just money. You know, Bible also talks about he that sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. You can put that like this. He that sows to the natural is going to decay. It's a matter of time. But he that sows to the spirit. So you can apply yourself to spiritual things. And if you want a lot of supernatural, sow a lot of supernatural seeds. And I'm talking in this context, talking tongues a lot. Spend a lot of time praying in the spirit. It makes one more susceptible to the things of God. It makes you more susceptible to the leading of God. It sorts out things in the future. Things that your head has no idea about. There's no supernatural, you know, in the full dimension God wants us to have it without tongues. Amen. Amen. All right, let's move some more and let's go further. The fifth thing, when it comes to living naturally in the supernatural, I'm not saying these are the only, these things I'm saying are the only ones, but I'm just saying these are the ones I believe the Spirit of God emphasized for me to share in this assembly. Now, I never, anytime I preach, even if it's the same topic I preached just the previous day in another church, I don't just rehash it. I always take my time to pray, Lord, what do you want me to emphasize in this particular meeting? And these were the things I believe God wants me to emphasize to us at this time. Well, like I said, pray much in other tongues. Pray much in other tongues. Number five, fifth of them is this. If we're going to experience the supernatural, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 16 says, the Spirit itself, or as the margin reads, himself, beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. You see, there's something about following the inward witness. Many times we seek, when it comes to God's leading, The way I hear some people talk about hearing from God, knowing what God wants them to do, you will think you are in a nuclear physics class. They make it sound so complicated. Listen, hearing God is not complicated. We are His children. Said, my sheep hear my voice. You know, one guy told me, he said, I've never heard God before in my life. Said, I don't know what you people talk about. When you talk about God led you, God led you. Said, God has never led me. I said, really? He said, yes. I said, let me ask you a question. When you woke up this morning, did you feel like sleeping some more? And then something on the inside of you seemed to say, my God, get off that bed. You know, you need to pray this morning. You know, you need to read your Bible. He said, yes now. He said, it happened to me this morning. It happens to me every time. I said, who was speaking to you? Was that the devil? Has somebody ever hurt you before? And your flesh felt like getting even. And something on the inside of you said, you know, let it go. Don't treat them based on how they treated you. Pay back good for the evil they did to you. He said, yes. He said, there's a situation like that. I said, who is talking to you? That's the Spirit of God. You see, many times we seek the spectacular and we miss the supernatural. The primary way the Spirit of God guides us is through the inward witness. I know people that have built their lives on dreams. I dream a lot. God shows me things in dreams. But dreams can come from three sources. From God, from the devil, and from yourself. Some people have more faith in their dream than they do in the Bible. They will say, I've dreamt it. When the devil wants to scatter such people's homes, he will make them have a dream of their mother-in-law being a witch. Then they will believe that their mother-in-law is a witch. And the devil has them where he wants them. And then their husband will get offended, will get unhappy. Why are you treating my mom like that? Why are you seeing my mom in that light? Kata kata, we now burst. Kasala, we now happen. No. Don't put a dream ahead of the Bible. Yes, sometimes I see visions. I've heard the audible voice of the Spirit of God. But listen, not every voice is God. Someone said, but I was fasting and I had this voice. Let me tell you a story. Jesus, he fasted 40 days and nights. After fasting 40 days and nights, he had a voice. Whose voice? The devil. So when you're fasting long, the devil can also speak to you. Nothing wrong with fasting. But what I'm saying is this, let's put the Bible first. Examine your leading in the light of the word. Someone told me how God was leading them to leave their spouse and marry somebody else's spouse. Said, it looks like there's gravel in your brain. Gravel is growing in your brain. No, that can't be God. That can't be God. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's not God. The Spirit of God has never divided a church yet. You see some of these associate pastors. Thank God you don't have those kind of people here. You know, that's when they will say that they have heard from God. And God is leading them. And then they go and start a church opposite. And then they will take half the members. They will cause division. And they will say God told them to. No, God didn't tell them to. Can't be right. Love won't do that. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. I was talking with someone who was involved in stuff like that. And I asked him, I said, okay, if you were doing a business and you had someone who was working with you in that business and that person suddenly felt like they wanted to do the same business and they had access to your clientele and they sent text messages to all your customers and they started in the same complex, the same thing, and they were now getting your people. I said, would that be right? He said, it can't be right. That's bad business practice. You know that it's bad business practice, but you think it's good church practice. Our standard as believers should be higher. You know, and then someone will come with an argument that, no, they are God's people. They are God's people. What I tell them is, go and look for your own God's people. There are still many more God's people who are not churched. And there are still many people who are not saved. You know, many times we fish out of our bathtub. Doesn't make sense. Amen. Praise God. So, if it's the Spirit of God, it will line up with the Word of God. And what's the primary way the Spirit of God guides us? Through the inward witness. Sometimes you are thinking about doing something. And you are praying about it. Especially when you pray in tongues. And the more you think about doing it. And pray about doing it. You just have a dead feeling on the inside. You just begin to get uneasy. You just have a check. A red light. Not necessarily a voice. You just lose your peace. You don't have joy about it. Something just seems wrong. You just have a hesitancy. Well, that's the Spirit of God saying, don't do it. And some other times you're thinking about doing something. And you're praying about doing it. You're thinking about doing it. And the more you think about doing it and pray about doing it, you seem to feel a gentle push on the inside. You know, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. It just seems good to do it. You just have a good feeling about it. You just have joy on the inside. You just have peace about it. Well, that's the Spirit of God saying, go ahead. Go ahead. Amen. Judge any dream by that witness. No matter who gives you a word from the Lord, check it out first with the Bible. Then secondly, check it with the witness you have in your own spirit. I was talking with one man. It was a businessman. We were praying together, actually. And while we were praying, suddenly, I just spoke out. You know, I just spoke out by the spirit of prophecy. I said, yeah, your wife is going to travel to, she's relocating to London. Yes, it's of God. Everything is going to work fine. It happened like that. I didn't have a clue that they were thinking of something like that. Then I suddenly said, you're listening to a prophet about your business. If you continue listening to him, your business will go bankrupt. Well, it happened like that. The Bible doesn't say as many as are led by prophets. You know, Baba Yemiwo. Baba Yemiwo. And then we will say, ah, but they pray now. You know, they say, you want to marry someone. Say, bring three names. And then you bring three names. They will pray about it. You know. Whether they throw Opele or they don't throw Opele. All those woshe things. Don't go and let them woshe for you. You're a child of God. You have the Spirit of God in you. Go by the witness in your spirit. Go by the witness in your spirit. You see, following that inward witness, following the leading of God's Spirit will lead you into the supernatural. Yes, sometimes we could hear the still small voice of our own spirit. I remember one time I needed help concerning a certain thing. And I was wondering, who can help me fix this thing? All of a sudden I had that still small voice speak up. And it called somebody's name, the first name and the last name. Call their name in full. You know? Like, my name now is Tokumba Adejuwon. You know, imagine I just say, Ade Tokumba Adejuwon. That's how I heard the person's name. Called it in full. I said, oh. Then I said, but how do I get a hold of this person? The voice spoke up again. Called the person's address in full. Yeah, God knows the address. Don't you think he does? Yeah. And it was bullseye. The Spirit of God knows things we don't know. Yeah. And he can guide us. There was one time I went to preach somewhere many years ago. It was somewhere in Ikorodu. Somehow, you know, I didn't have the contact of the person. I think maybe I didn't have a cell phone then or something of that sort, you know, many years ago. And the description they gave me of how to get there, I think I misplaced it. Now you're in Ikorodu. You're looking for a place. You may just as well go back home. Yeah, where will you start looking? Ah, I said, Spirit of God, you know this address. You know where I should go. I'm just going to trust you to guide me. And then I just kept listening on the inside. And then they said, turn here. Then they turn here. Then turn here. Then I got to one place. As I was going down, then the exact place I was going to. In fact, the person that invited me was coming down the road. I told him, said, if you know how I got here today. Yeah. The Spirit of God. Now, I'm not saying we should be careless about such things. I typically am not. But it so happened in that situation. You see, he will guide us. He will lead us. He will lead us concerning the plan and the purpose of God for our life. And let me tell you something. Following the leading of the Spirit of God will produce the supernatural. Amen. You see, God will even tell us what to do with our money. He will tell us how to invest it. Ah, I've had some investment opportunities. One fellow came to meet me one time, was telling me about Bitcoin. You know. Yeah, and he told me, he said, Elon Musk has invested so much. Ah, then another friend came again. They were both saying Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin. You know. On the inside of me, just in there, something just didn't feel right. I said, well, and then I'll tell you another thing. I'm a contented man. I'm not looking for money the way some people are looking for money. See, the Bible says he that makes haste to be rich will not be innocent. Part of the reason people get 419'd is because they are chasing money on all sides. If you are too in a hurry, make money, make money. Yeah, God wants us to want to succeed. Nothing wrong with making money. But there's also something about not being covetous. Yeah. That's why you believe something that's ridiculous. In this particular case, I didn't have a go ahead. I didn't do it. You don't know how much money my friends lost. I just pitied them. Amen. They're born again people. Spirit filled. But let's learn to listen. Many times we educate our head at the expense of our heart. Another investment one time. You know? Everything looked right. Something on the inside of me said, don't do it. I didn't do it. All the people that did it lost their money. They lost everything. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. So I looked smarter. No, I'm not that smart. I just have the Holy Ghost inside me. And I take my time to listen to Him. Anytime an offer comes, if it's like, you must make a decision now. Ah, this offer. Hey, by tomorrow morning, if you don't do it, you'll have lost it. This thing, you will make. If I can't have time to pray, let me lose the offer. Even if it is real, even if it is authentic. Once I don't, look, if it was that important, God will have told me about it ahead of time. Since God hasn't told me up till now, and this thing is just coming, and I don't have enough time to pray. Now, you know, sometimes you could say, oh, should I do it? And God could just speak to you immediately and tell you, go ahead. If He doesn't tell me, well, I won't. I don't lose money. Are you listening? Because I've learned to listen on the inside of me. There's a teacher in me. There's the guide in me. He will guide us concerning God's plans, God's purposes for our lives. So let's learn to be led by the Spirit of God in the major decisions. There's a spirit now that has come up into our country. I like to call it the spirit of jackpa. You know, people are just jackpaing. You know, yeah, it's okay. If God is leading you, fine. But listen, pray about it. Don't make a major decision just on economic considerations. Don't do it. Don't do it. See, famine is not a big deal. Famine, don't they tell? You know, the Bible talks about the famine in the time of Abraham. Famine is nothing new. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Somebody said, with all these people leaving, I said, those of us that are left, the resources that are there will now be surplus for us. Let them be jackpine. Of course, we shouldn't be selfish. And now, listen, there's going to be some people that the Spirit of God will actually lead them to go. If He's leading you, then go. But if He's not leading you, don't just go. Now, if you have an opportunity to study, yes, go and study. But you know, some people whose opportunity to study is not study there, they are studying. It's jackpa. They are just looking for opportunity to jackpa. Anything that can jar them pa. Are you listening? Yeah. Some people, yes, that's the route God wants them to go. But what I'm saying is pray about it. Have you prayed about it? Have you asked God about it? You want to marry this person or not marry that person? You want to take this job or not take that job? You want to move to this city or not move to that city? And then let me also say this. There's sometimes I'm praying about certain things and I don't seem to have a leading either way. I don't seem to hear God say do it or God say don't do it. At times like that, you know what I do? Based on biblical principles, biblical values, right? Then I make the wisest decision. And sometimes, you see, Abraham's servant said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Sometimes, you have to take a step first. If it's the wrong step, then God will tell you it is. Sometimes you make the first step, you don't have a check, it's okay. You see, Paul, if you look in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul didn't seem to be praying, God, where should I go? Paul just saw going into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So it was like, God, if there's a place you don't want me to go, you better tell me, because I'm going. And then the Spirit of God said, don't go here. The Spirit of God said, wait. You know, some people, I tell it to a lot of our Bible school graduates. Don't finish from Bible school and then you're waiting on God for what to do with your life. Go and do something. Say, what if it's the wrong thing? At least you're doing something. Amen. I don't know whether God called me to preach or not. Go and do. There's this lady, graduated from Rema, USA. She wasn't sure what God wanted her to do. She organized an open air crusade. You know, so many people got saved. So many people got filled with the Holy Ghost. So many people got healed. Well, in the course of time, she found out God didn't call her to be an evangelist. But you know, God won't send her to hell for getting those people saved, will He? You see, in the early stages, God will allow you to do just about anything. Then the time will come when you will need to know specifically what you should do. Those early stages, do something. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with everything that's in you. You sense a call of God on your life, get involved with your local church. Serve in your local church. If you are too big to do the little things, then you are too little to ever do big things. Start from the small things. Don't you know I'm an apostle? I'm an apostle. What kind of apostle? You're a stupid apostle. Yeah, I've met some of these so-called apostles who have not as much established a poultry. They're calling themselves Apostle Pangolo. Apostle Tin Tomato. Yeah, that's not apostle anything. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. You can put any label you want on an empty can. You know? Yeah, don't let other people say what you are. You don't blow yourself. You see, certain things will speak for themselves. Do what God laid in your heart. It's not about trying to gather clout. It's one thing with this generation. You know, they like dopamine in their brain. When they post something on Twitter or on Instagram, surely that Instagram, hey, and it has, the thing is trending. The thing is viral. You know, sends dopamine inside their brain. Gives them good feeling. Yeah. So everything is just clout. No. We need to crucify the flesh. We need to crucify the flesh. There are times I wanted to post things on social media. And what I wanted to post was right. But then, my conscience began to bother me. Yeah, this thing you're posting is right. But why are you posting it? I knew my reason was wrong. So I couldn't post it until I could get my motive right. And there's some things, Lord said, no, don't post that. Even though it's right, don't post it. Don't post it. It'll cause trouble. It'll be misunderstood. So I didn't. Are you listening? Yeah, so it's not about what people think about me. I could care less what people think about me. What's important is what God thinks about me and what I think about myself. Amen. So let's be led by the Spirit of God. Well, number six. Sixth thing. If we're going to live naturally in the supernatural, be open to the gifts of the Spirit. Be open to the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 1. The Bible says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I'll not have you ignorant. Ye know that you are Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord by the Holy Ghost. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Diversities of operations, but the same God that worketh all in all. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another descending of spirits. To another diversities of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. It says, but all this worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Are you listening to me? So gifts of the Spirit belong to the church. Are you listening to me? All nine of them belong to the body of Christ. Now, yes, there's the Spirit of God wills, but if we're not careful, we'll paint a picture like the Spirit of God is one very unwilling spirit. It's not an unwilling spirit. God wants to demonstrate His power more than we want to see it. Have you noticed that it looks like the Spirit of God is very willing in some people's lives and very unwilling in some other people's lives? So it's not a matter of the Spirit of God being unwilling. It's a matter of the fact that we need to cooperate with Him. We need to be open to those things. Nine of them. There are three that reveal something. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, descending of spirits. There are three of them that do something. Special faith, working on miracles, gifts of healings. There are three that say something. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Now, any spirit-filled believer, anyone, if he will stay full of the Holy Ghost, as the need arises, and as the Spirit of God sees fit, he'll manifest himself through him. Listen, I've had gifts of the Spirit in preparing for exam. I'm not talking inward witness, so I'm talking about, I will see a vision and I will see the exam paper. Yeah. Not all the time, of course. But I mean, gifts of the Spirit can work anywhere. I was on the road one time. I was witnessing to one guy. Then when I finished, I said, I know you want to get born again, right? I never ask someone, are you born again? I don't do it. I assume they are not. So I preach to them first. Now, if they are born again, then they will say, look, I'm born again already. Then I will turn it into exhortation. And then our iron, we sharpen our iron. We will both edify ourselves in the Lord, right? Now, and if someone is a sinner, when I finish preaching to him, I don't say, do you want to get born again? Mm-mm. I'm more persuasive than that. I tell him, I know you want to get saved, so let's pray. Yeah, because I expect he should get saved. You know, that's how I shared with this guy. I was walking down the road. You know, it was just by the roadside. I said, guess what? He said, what's that? I said, I'm a new creature. He said, what's that about? Ah, God don't catch you today. If you don't know what a new creature is, in all probability you are not one. Well, I descended on him with the everlasting gospel. Of course, I didn't preach it in an everlasting way. Just a short thing as we were walking down the road together. So when I got done, I said, you want to get saved, right? Let's just pray. He said, no, I don't. My feathers fell. I said, Lord, how do I reach this guy? How do I reach this guy? He's not interested. Then on the inside of me, I just had an inward revelation. And I told him, I said, your date of birth is so and so. He said, how did you know? He said, is that Jesus that wants to be your Lord that just told me? I got his attention then. And then he got saved. You notice, what if I had not been witnessing to him? That's spectacular, right? Just knowing someone's date of birth. The probability that I will get it right is 1 out of 365. 1 out of 365. It could be 300 or even 1 out of 366. It could have been born February 29. Isn't it? The Spirit of God knew. And he told me. And I told him. He got his attention. And he brought him on his knees. One Muslim guy, I was witnessing to him. I said, I know you want to get saved. I said, I don't. Ah! Then I said, okay, what can I pray for you for? Told me, he said, he's sick. He's had this condition. I said, all right. Father, I know you love this man. Just so he will know how much you love him. And that Jesus actually died for him. Heal him now in Jesus. He was instantly healed. He said, he's gone. He's gone. I said, yeah, Jesus healed you. Yeah. But you notice, if I hadn't been doing something, I wouldn't have had that. So let's be open to the gifts of the Spirit. Expect them. Jesus was by a well. I'm at the well. Now, Jesus was not an obnoxious person. You know, there are obnoxious Christians who are a nuisance. They have vigil every night in their house and they're always shouting at the top of their voice. Their neighbors cannot sleep. And then they now wonder why those neighbors never follow them to church. They won't. Because they don't let them sleep every night, every night, every night. They're so tongues, you know, high pitch. As if you are using PA system. Yeah. You know, there are people, they are nasty. You don't greet your neighbor. You don't care about anybody. Then you now want to share tract to them. They feel like throwing your tract on your face. You know? But you know, Jesus, with him, it was a lifestyle. The woman came to fetch water. He said, give me water to drink. And I actually think Jesus really just wanted water. Because he was weary with his journey in John 4. That's how the woman said, we are Osu. Our people don't marry your people. We don't talk with each other. Don't you know I'm Samaritan? You are Jew. Where did this one start? If you know who is talking to you, you will have asked me for water. He said, what kind of water be that? Where will you fetch? He said, if you drink of those that you test again, if you drink of the one I'll give you, you'll never test. Human said, okay, I want this water. He said, go and call your husband. Human said, I don't have any. He said, yes, you've spoken the truth. You've had five. And the one you're living with now is not your husband. You know, the fact that people are living together doesn't mean they're husband and wife. Jesus said so. Yeah. Then the woman said, show me a man that told me all I ever did. If you've had five husbands, that's all you ever did. Don't you think so? Amen. That was a word of knowledge. Bullseye. And it was just over water of well. Yeah. You know, we can be relational. We can be friendly to people. We can be kind. Just have conversation. Just show interest in their life. Seize any opportunity to talk about Jesus. Seize any opportunity to witness. Amen. Let's be open to the gifts of the Spirit. Let's be open to them. Then, you know, as a body of believers, God wants us to covet them earnestly. The only place in Scripture covetousness is allowed is here. When it comes to the move of the Spirit. As a body of believers, if we'll be hungry for the move of God, for the Spirit of God to be manifestation, then as the Spirit of God sees fit, he will divide the manifestation of those gifts through various members of that assembly. And you know, we can also pray for an increase in manifestations of the Spirit of God in the local church, and even in the body of Christ, like they did in the early church. Acts 4:29 to 31. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Zechariah 10:1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. See, God won't tell us to ask him for what he wasn't willing to give us. Said the Lord will send rain, lightnings. Talk about the lightnings of God. Kenneth E. Hagin, he said he was in this meeting. You know, January 1, 1946, New Year's Day, just finished preaching. All of a sudden, there was a flash of light that went in the building. It wasn't raining. It was a flash of light, like lightning. So when it did, in a split second, three people disappeared from their seats and reappeared kneeling down at the altar. See, it's not only the devil that can do egbe. It's not only the devil that can do kanoko. If the devil has those things, where do you think he got it from? Where do you think he learned it? Have you ever seen a fake 3 naira note? You haven't. I haven't either. Why? There is no real 3 naira note. If there is a fake of certain things, it's because there is a real. Remember how Philip was transported. Do you think God can still do that? Jesse Duplantis was going to pray for one man who was dying. The man was over 8 hours away. He was driving his car. He said momentarily, just shut his eyes and opened it, and he found himself with his car 8 hours down in the place he was going to. He was supernaturally transported with the car too. Yes, God can do those things. 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 He can. You know, sometimes people can be transported in the spirit and see what's happening in a place and come back. But sometimes people can be transported in the body too. God can do it. He does things like that. Yeah, I don't mean you will have them happen every day just like that. You know, that kind of occurrence, we have it. Well, it happened with Philip. It happened one time with Jesus. As soon as they got on the ship, they got on land immediately. Then it seemed like it happened with Elijah. When he said, go tell your master here. He said, please don't fool me. That's how I will go and tell now. And then you'll have been gone. Why did he think like that? Well, of course, they had looked for him earlier. They didn't find him. But it's also possible they had had such manifestations. God can do stuff. God can do stuff. God can do stuff. My wife, she has a medical practice. Sometimes in the clinic, she'll have a word of knowledge about the patient. And it's a bullseye. And she'll get them born again, treating them because of a manifestation of the Spirit. Amen. Now, when I say be open to the gifts of the Spirit, this is what I have found. Many times, and many of us, we pray a lot in tongues, and that's good. But where the disconnect is in, okay, you prayed, you prepared, and all that. You're now in the meeting. Maybe you finished preaching the word. Now, by the way, let me also say this. Is it possible that there may be times the Spirit of God is not moving in a certain way? Yes. After Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount, we're not told to minister to anybody. He just sent them away. There could be teaching meetings where all the Spirit of God wants us to do is just teach and close the meeting. There could be different meetings where the Spirit of God just wants us to do something. If the Holy Ghost is not moving in gifts of the Spirit, they are not going to cook up anything. You know, one fellow invited me for a meeting one time. He said, sir, we want you to manifest. I laughed. Told him, I said, I'm not a demon. Neither am I the Holy Ghost. It's demons that manifest and the Holy Ghost. I'm not the Holy Ghost. It's God you should tell that one to, not me. I never feel obligated to perform. Never, never, never. I'm not a performer. I'm a minister. Yes, I prepare myself. Yes, I stay open to the Holy Ghost. You know, if he's moving like that, great. If he's not, great. Praise God. So say, show them you're anointed. Yeah. Yahweh don't they gasp me that. Remember Moses? Yeah, must we fetch you water from the well? God said, because he did not sanctify him before the people. Say he went to the promised land. Yeah. So we are not the ones who do it. You know, I hear some Christians say stuff like, you know, we heal the sick. Yes, I know. The Bible said heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. But look at Jesus. Jesus never claimed to do the works. Jesus always said it was the Father that dwells in me that does the works. Amen. Yeah, Jesus can say we should heal the sick. But how about we say it's Jesus who is doing it through us, not us. We mustn't try to take the credit for it. Amen. We're just God's errand boys and girls. It's God who's the big one. Amen. So, don't feel obligated to perform, right? But, many times, the Spirit of God is moving, but we don't yield to Him. That's what I've seen. Okay, you finish preaching, you're about to close the meeting. And you just seem to have an impression. My wife told me one time, she said, I don't know why, I've just been thinking about so and so. I said, call the person. I said, that's how those things work. You know? That's how those things work. She called the person. The person said, it's God that told you to call me. Hey, I just needed this call. It means everything to me. Yeah. Were you thinking about the person before? No. What, did you have any reason to think about the person? No. Why are you just suddenly feeling like, call this person, call this person? You know, that's how those things sometimes work. You finish in a meeting. And then you just seem to have an impression. Go and lay hands on so and so. You say, ha. Why will I lay hands on him? But nothing is wrong with him. Hey, people will think that, people will think, forget about what people will think. They already think you don't know much. They already think you may be stupid. It's okay. Leave what they think with them. What does God think? Hey, what if I'm wrong? Hey, you won't be the first person that was wrong. And you won't be the last person that was wrong. If you are wrong, you are just wrong. So next time you do better. Isn't it? So, gifts of the Spirit, many times, it's just an impression. Just a witness. One time I was ministering to someone on the healing line. I just had this impression. Hit that guy in the tummy. I don't hit people. I'd never hit people. Hit that guy in the tummy. Well, I hit him. And the ulcer he had all his life vanished instantly. I was in a meeting. You know? Suddenly, the Spirit of God seemed to impress in my heart and say, there's somebody here, your daddy drinks. Whose daddy didn't drink? You know, now that sounds weird. You know, I'll just say, I'll say something like that. They'll just say, it's okay, say it. Forget about what people think about you. After I said that, then I heard it's Gulda that he drinks. Now, not everybody takes Gulda. Not everybody's daddy takes Gulda. Then I heard he wakes up in the morning with that bottle. He started getting more specific. But you notice, it wasn't until I stepped out that then more light came. I yielded. These are the areas where many times we pray, we make the power available, we're there. Okay, now, appropriate the power. Respond to the power. That's usually where the missing link is. You know, so, then I said something. I just prayed for him. I said, you know, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of that thing over him. I left it. Now, this thing I'm telling you, I have it on my phone. Someone sent it to me, Facebook Messenger. I got this testimony 20 years after it happened. Over 20 years after it happened. Let me finish the story for you. So, he said he got home after the meeting. He said he noticed dad was still drinking. He said that thing didn't work. You know, he forgot about it. He said the next time they came on holidays, he came and he saw his daddy wasn't drinking again. He said, what happened? And the daddy said Jesus appeared to him. Yeah. Yes. And broke the power of it over his body. And told him not to touch it again. And the man has been sober ever since. But you notice, I could have said, what if I'm wrong? And in that meeting, I never even knew. This was over 20 years after that I heard the story. Do you see? One time I was in a meeting, I just had an impression. Somebody here, you know, your daddy has epilepsy. He is healed. Now, I had enough sense to know not to tell him to lift his hand. You know why? Because in case there's a lady there he's interested in. That's how, you know, when you say everybody close their eyes, some people never close their own. How do I know? Because I've been there. Confess your faults one to another. You know? Yeah. 4 years after, the young man walked up to me and said, do you remember such and such a meeting where you said such and such? I said, yes. He said it was his daddy. He said his daddy had epilepsy. He said if he went without his drugs for 1 week, he would start having epileptic seizures. He said it's been 4 years now. He hasn't taken one tablet. And he hasn't had one seizure. Yeah, something, obviously, there must have been a link. Don't you think so? That doesn't make medical sense. That's impossible. That's impossible. But you see, it's about yielding. It's about yielding. Just dare to step out. The bolder you are, the more the results you will get. You have an impression. Respond to it. And gifts of the Spirit can work anywhere. They can work everywhere. Somebody came to see me in the house one time. You know? As soon as he got there, young minister, I just started talking to him. I said, you know, sometimes some people, they wonder about, and I brought up a question, and then I answered it. Then I went to another question. I answered it. I went to a third question. I answered it. The man just shook his head. He said, You see, I came to see you today. Those are the three questions I came to ask you. And without me saying a word, you answered them. Now, that wasn't even spectacular. You know, sometimes gifts of the Spirit are in manifestation, but they're not necessarily spectacular. One time I was teaching in our Hausa campus. In our Hausa campus, yes. Either Hausa campus or the English campus in Kaduna. Then as I was teaching, I just began to use one lady as an example. I said, let's say for this, for instance, this lady now, her husband were to build a bigger house. And then they move to that bigger house. And then suddenly she feels her husband is not serious in his work with God. And then the lady now stops allowing her husband to touch her. There are children around, so I'm careful how I'm saying this. You know, and she moves out of the bedroom, goes to the guest room. And, you know, I said, if she does that, you know that will be wrong, right? You know, and that will be evil and wicked and foolish too. You know, I just talked. I was reading her email. That's exactly what happened. And you see, I didn't even know. Are you listening? So sometimes, that's talking about living naturally in the supernatural. I wasn't even aware. I wasn't aware that I was saying something specific. And I was talking specifically about our case. And I was just giving an example to illustrate something. Are you listening to me? So, let's be open to the gifts of the Spirit. Remember this, if you're born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you maintain a prayer life, praise God, and you live right. The Bible says, if any man will purge himself from these things, he'll be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. You see, revival fire burns brighter through purer vessels. The Bible says, be ye holy that bear the vessels of the Lord. There's something about separating ourselves. The Bible says, Jesus, a man approved of God, Acts 2:22, two wonders and signs and miracles that God did by him. Then, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Are you listening to me? So there are things we can do and we should do that will make us more susceptible to the gifts of the Spirit. And they have nothing to do with whether you're called to the ministry or not. Remember in Acts 9, from verse 10 to 17, certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias said, behold, I'm here, Lord. He said, arise and go to the street, which is called Straight, inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and had seen a vision, a man called Ananias, coming in and putting his hands on him that he may receive his sight. Ananias was not an apostle, he wasn't a prophet, an evangelist, he was just a layman. And yet, Jesus appeared to him, and told him the house address. He told him the street, he told him the house, he told him the name of the man. Then he told him what had happened to the man. A disciple. Anybody here who's a brother Ananias? A disciple. I am. Every one of us is. If God could use brother Ananias, now it wasn't the Ananias that married Sapphira. This was another Ananias. That one died in Acts 5. This was in Acts 9. So what am I saying? These things can work through all of us. Be open to them. What if I'm wrong? Repent. Then you learned, oh, it doesn't quite work like this. I was wrong. You see, there is a learning to those things. See, some of us, we minister in some of these ways. Things happen and people say, oh, ha. None of us started there. Are you listening? None of us started there. Dare to step out. And let me tell you, spiritual things appreciate in value with use. The more you use your gift, the stronger it gets. Now, with some people, there are faculties. Based on God's hand on their life, what God has called them to do, there are spiritual faculties, endowments that are in their spirits. If they will pray in other tongues, right, and give room for it to work, many times it will come in manifestation. Let's give ourselves some more to these things. Be open to the gifts of the Spirit. And lastly, number 7, where I'm stopping, it's this. Use wisdom and obey natural laws. Use wisdom and obey natural laws. Yes, I'm talking about living naturally in the supernatural. But listen to me. There are natural laws. You see, those laws of nature, they are God's laws. Like gravity. Like you resting. God created 6 days. He rested the seventh. Right? Yeah. You know, certain things are just God's laws. Take adequate rest for your body. Get good exercise. Yes, I believe in the supernatural. But when I woke up this morning, I didn't check my spirit whether I should have my bath. I didn't check my spirit whether I should brush my teeth. I had enough common sense to know to do that. I don't check my spirit to know whether I should service my car. Now, my car tells me when I should service it. prompts me by itself. It tells me service due such and such a day. So, yeah. But then, there are things in the natural. Because I believe in the supernatural doesn't mean I also don't believe in the natural. Sometimes people are sick and they need medical help. Get it. And don't feel condemned about it. Proverbs 18:9, Amplified Classic. He that doesn't use his endeavors to heal himself is brother to him that commits suicide. You're believing God for a child. You've been married. It's been 5 years. It's been 6 years. Don't wait until you reach menopause. Go and do IVF. Go and seek other options. Are you listening to me? We're waiting for God's time. My friend, stop that nonsense. God's time was for you to take in, if possible, the night of your wedding. That's God's time. Or if you didn't want it just then. God's time, that we're waiting for God's time. We're waiting for God's time. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Are you listening to me? Get help in the natural. Okay, you've been applying your faith to this situation. The situation is getting worse. Get help. Don't be daft. Are you listening to me? I believe in the supernatural. Eh? But listen, Jesus took our sins, not our brains. There's a place to think. Are you listening to me? There's good planning. Let me tell you, if every year you have to believe God for a miracle to pay your rent, something is wrong. Something is wrong. You shouldn't need a miracle to pay your rent. When you are just starting in life, yes. But is it that you are living way beyond your income? Now, if something happened, you lost your job or something went wrong, I can understand. But when it has become a habitual practice that you always need a miracle to pay school fees, you always need a miracle to pay bills, you always, you are not using wisdom somewhere. Live within your means. Cut your coat according to your faith size. Faith grows. Are you listening to me? Yeah, start where you are. Stop trying to live like somebody else. You are not the other person. Besides, you don't know whether they don't enter Gbese. See, sometimes you see a church, and that church, they're doing this. And then you two, you say, if this church is doing it, we two will do the here. You don't know what they are doing. You don't know whether I want to attend you. You don't know. Now, it's also possible it's God's grace. Let's celebrate that. And let's be happy for them. But don't kill yourself. Don't put yourself on race that God did not put you. Hey, listen to me. Use wisdom. Use wisdom. Why did God create the sun before he created the plants? Why did God create the plants before he created the animals? Why did God, you know, we are told in Hebrews 11:3 that it was through faith that God created those things. But we are told in Proverbs that it was through his wisdom. See, faith and wisdom are not mutually exclusive spiritual forces. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. There are some things it's just good wisdom. And God didn't say we shouldn't be wise. Someone said, no, me, I don't plan. I just believe God. Really? Jesus said, who wants to build a tower and does not first count the cost? So you should count the cost. Nothing wrong with planning. What is wrong is worrying. Are you listening to me? So, if we're going to live in the supernatural, let's understand that there's a place for the natural. We live in a natural world. There are natural laws. For instance, you know, you may be saying that you want promotion. They want to retrench people in your place of work. Oh, hope I won't be one of them. But you are the one who is always rude to your boss. If they give you a job to do, you will never do it on time. You know, you always can tackle us. Like now, it's Christmas, eh? What if you take your boss at work hamper? If you give him hamper, will he be angry? You know, favor, yes. God's favor. But there are things we do and we should do. There's just something about good manners. There's something about good character. There's just something about, you know, greeting people, respecting people, caring for people, doing the right thing. Those things still work. The Bible says, thou shalt rise before the hoary head. It's Bible. Yeah, those are it's just good wisdom. You're a young man. Get all the education you can get. Apply yourself. Upskill if you can. Don't be laid back. Don't be laid back. Don't be laid back. I see some of these people, I feel like beating them in the bum. My guy, go do something with your life. Move ahead. You know, be eager. Don't you want your life to count for something? You just sit bundukutiously. Don't do that. Use wisdom. When the natural and the supernatural come together, they make an explosive force for God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this series of meetings. Thank you, Father, for this local assembly. Thank you because they step into a new season. Thank you for the timing is right. The timing is just right. The timing is just right. Yes, those changes that need to be made in our lives as individuals, in our midst as a body of believers, we'll make the appropriate changes. We'll do the things we need to do. Thank you because you help us. You help us. You help us. Amen. Someone who had a bone injury that has not healed fully. A bone injury that has not healed fully. Who are you? Okay, put your hand there. In the name of Jesus, I speak to that bone. Be healed. The tendons, the ligaments, the muscles, the joints, be healed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, I'd like to do something. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, can I see your hand? You're not born again. Anybody like that? Every head bowed and eye closed. That's the most supernatural thing that there is. Or you're born again and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Anybody like that? Praise God. Alright, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Awesome. Awesome. Sir, please come out. Oh, ma, please come out. Amen. Come out. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Come out. Those of you that lifted up your hands. Now, I wanted to minister to you personally. But I'm a little out of time. Come. Amen. One of the pastors here who's anointed, he will get you filled. Praise God. The Holy Ghost is a gift. It was given on the day of Pentecost. Ever since then, he has been here. Praise God. Well, I could just even go ahead. Amen. You're not too many. Just say with me, Father, I thank you for Jesus. He is my Lord. He died for me. He was raised from the dead. Not only is he my Lord, he's my baptizer in the Holy Ghost. I receive the Spirit of God now. In Jesus' name. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Now let me tell you. Your mouth will want to say something. Close your eyes. Your mouth will want to say something that's not English. You won't know what it sounds like until you say it. Just open your mouth and speak it out. Whatever word, sound, phrase, syllable that seems easy for you to speak, speak it out. You know what it sounds like until you say it. Now, all of us in the crowd, I want us to help them. Let's all begin to pray quietly in other tongues. Yeah, they're all filled. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. You could go back to your seats. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Usually I like to get people filled with the Holy Ghost just if I pray for the sick. Why do I do that? With being filled with the Holy Ghost is an initial evidence. Everybody hears that. Everybody sees that. So everybody sees that, yes, the supernatural is working as you believe God. Now if you're here and you need healing for your body, I want to lay hands on you. Jesus appeared to me. He gave me a special anointing to minister to the sick. If you believe that I'm anointed and you'll receive that anointing, that power will flow from my hands into your body. It'll drive out whatever sickness or disease and it'll effect a healing and a cure in you. Praise God. Now I'm going to be very fast as I do this. Praise God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are the healer. As I lay my hands on these ones in the name of Jesus, thank you because diseases depart, demons leave, and the sick are healed. In Jesus' name. Say with me, this is my day. Say it one more time. This is my day. As hands are laid on me, the power of God comes on me, and I take my healing. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Once hands have been laid on you, you can go back to your seat. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed. 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 In Jesus' name. Be healed. 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 Amen. You know, like that. I laid hands on someone, HIV AIDS, full blown. And you know, they got healed. All right, she wants to come out. No, let her stay there. Come and meet her. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your healing power. It makes our every weak whole. Now, in the name of Jesus. Father, I give you praise for it. Amen. Praise God. Let's say this together. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Let's say it together. Hands were laid on the sick. Let's say, hands were laid on the sick. The power of God came on them. It's working in their bodies. It's working in their bodies. It's working in their bodies. Yeah. Many of you are completely healed already. And with some of you, you are already recovering. What do? Keep the switch of faith turned on. Let's say, I'm going to contend for the supernatural. I will live naturally in the supernatural. I will keep the switch of faith on. Thank you, Father. Amen. Let's lift our hands to Jesus and praise Him.